Broadcasting from the PLA Situation Room in Roy, New Mexico, you're listening to The Snowplow Show.
Now it's time.
On Prank Call Nation.
Cactus.
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 I'm playing games.
Cactus.
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 Am I supposed to be doing this?
Cactus.
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 Cactus, this cocksucker.
Cactus.
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 You've got to be crapping on my balls.
Cactus.
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 It's going to be a fuck job to edit.
Cactus.
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 Calling me a hobo.
Cactus.
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 You don't make a house a pool.
Cactus.
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 How about if I come down and punch your head off?
Cactus.
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 He's blowing smoke up my ass.
Cactus.
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 You think a tracer can stop me?
Hey everyone, this is Roy, and you're listening to the Snowplow Show for November 27th, 2015. Today's show is sponsored by Ben Kilburn, but nobody will ever know about that because this is a secret show that we're not going to show to the general public. Because fuck those guys, right? You can also blame Ben Kilburn for today's show not including a single prank phone call. Because, of course, you know, the Snowplow Show, it's not a prank call show. It's a show about anything. That's why it's called the Snowplow Show. So if you don't like shows that don't include actual prank calls, you probably shouldn't listen to this one. But this one is an interview that I had with PJ Vogt from the Reply All podcast, where we spent about an hour and 20 minutes talking about prank calls. And they did use a very tiny portion of the interview in their September 3rd, 2015 podcast. It's episode number 37, called Taking Power. But the segment they used was maybe 3 minutes, probably not even that. So it kind of felt like the hour and 20 minutes that I spent talking to PJ about prank calls kind of went to waste because nobody's ever going to hear it. Except for you guys, because you guys are secret show supporters. Let me tell you a little bit about how this interview came about. Basically, it's all Mistress Morgan's fault. As most of you know, Mistress Morgan is one of the hosts on the Prank Call Nation Network machine. And one night earlier this year, she made a call to a Twitter complainer who complained about Comcast. And one thing leads to another. I don't know how the Reply All podcast found out about this guy. I guess this guy just contacted them. Maybe he was a listener or something. I'm not really sure, but their producer emailed me and asked if I'd be interested in talking to PJ Vogt, the host of the Reply All podcast. And I said, sure, I would love to talk about some prank call that sounds like something that someone on PCN would do. And I didn't really know what the interview was going to be about. I didn't even know if it was really an official interview. I thought we were just going to talk about this Comcast incident. But instead, we just ended up talking about all the weird shit that I do for about an hour, which was awesome because I'm really narcissistic. And to top things off, I got to rat out Mistress Morgan and give them her information so that they could get in touch with her. And as most of you know, that ended up in Mistress Morgan's incarceration. As far as I know, she's still in prison. Sorry about that, Mistress Morgan. But, you know, it's a dog-eat-dog here in the prank call world, so I had to do it. Anyway, this is a fun conversation, in my opinion. I probably think that just because it's all about me and the phone losers and Prank Call Nation. But hopefully you guys will enjoy it, too. I did some heavy editing on this interview, so you might notice some odd cuts where we just jump from one topic to the other. And I did cut out a few boring things and a bunch of pauses, and I chopped about 20 minutes off of the whole thing, so this is going to be about an hour long. So I hope you all enjoy this, and if you don't, that sucks. I'm not going to apologize, but here's the interview. Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, it said when the phone rang over here, and I think that the call ID said Walmart sucked. It does that. I have, you know, for my show, I have all these pre-programmed caller ID things, and so it just, I have a bunch of, like, Walmart's one of them. You know, if someone decides they want to look into who just called them, they'll just see Walmart in the caller ID. How do you do that? Oh, it's just called caller ID spoofing. I actually have a whole phone system in my house. It's called Asterix, and it has all these extensions, and I don't know, I'm a weirdo. But it's funny, we actually did an episode like a month ago where we were trying to track down this hold music, and the hold music was from Asterix, and we managed to do the story without me really understanding what it was. Oh. I know the hold music, like, you're talking about, because I wondered what that was too. I didn't know if it was coming from my system or somewhere else. It's a song called, it's by Jamendo. And the song, I've already forgotten the name, but I spent a week really wanting to know the name of it. Clarity. It's called Simplicity. Oh, okay. I'll have to find that. I've been listening to your show the past couple days. Good show, by the way. but I didn't.
Oh, thank you.
I haven't seen that one yet, so that'll be interesting to get to that one, because I was kind of curious about that.
Well, so can you just tell me a little bit more about how the your like phone rig works?
Sure. It's a system called Asterix. It's been around for a really long time, and the version I'm, it's a Linux thing. The version I'm using is called FreePBX, and it's just a standalone computer in my house, and you can basically just choose your caller, your outgoing caller ID. So when I'm sorry?
Oh, go ahead.
When I make a prank call, like say I'm pretending to be with Comcast, I will make my phone number show 1-800-COMCAST.
And how many like preloaded fake companies do you have in your thing?
On this, it's called a SIP client. It runs on a different computer that I'm on right now, and it's just a drop down box, and I can just choose one. And my default usually is this Walmart in Iowa. But I've got one, it's the rejection hotline in New York City. If they call back, they get the rejection hotline. there's another one that's, it's a 844 number, which is a toll-free number. And I think most people aren't aware that 844 is toll-free. So when they see that on their caller ID, on their cell phone, they don't know what to make of it, and it makes them pick up. But if they call that back, they get some sort of marketing number. And I don't know, I just, a few random ones like that.
What's a rejection hotline in New York City?
Oh, you've never heard of a rejection hotline?
No.
It's a number. If you're a girl in a bar and some guy asks for your phone number and you don't want to be an honest person and just say no thanks, you give them the number to the rejection hotline.
Oh my God.
And then when they call that number back, it just says, hey, this girl's not interested in you. And it's kind of a dick move, really. They have them all over the country. You know, they have them in all the area codes.
So there's one for every city?
Yeah, more or less. I think there's one company that runs a bunch of them.
And what is the thinking? It's like, is it basically like you want some combination of like a phone number somebody might pick up for, and also if they call back, you just want there to be like a tiny cosmic joke in the world that they'll call back and they'll get something like the New York City rejection hotline?
Yeah, I just think it's kind of funny. And it's good to, you know, I have a few area codes spread around the country, so if I just need to make a quick call and want my caller ID to show up as California, I have some California number in there. And then I have, you know, I have like a payphone at the Portland airport in Oregon. And if they call me back, you know, they're wanting to cause trouble for me or whatever, they'll just see that and think, oh, it's a payphone. What can I do? Or it's Walmart. Nobody's going to know who called from Walmart.
And how did you get the payphone number?
When I was flying a couple of years ago, I was hanging out in the airport with my kids, and there's a huge bank of payphones still there in 2013 or whatever it was. And we went over and got all the numbers and just started calling them. Or I posted them on my Facebook, I think is what it was, and my listeners all started calling all the different payphones and making them all ring, and that was kind of cool. All the people waiting around were just kind of looking, and some people would go over and pick them up.
How many listeners do you have?
It's hard to say. I mean, I guess on the YouTube video, you know, I upload my show on YouTube, every show, and those get around 2,000 listeners each. But it also seems like the podcast version, you know, on iTunes or whatever, it also gets downloaded about 2,000 times. I know those can be partial downloads or just spam bots on that one, though. So it's hard to say.
And then are there also people who are listening live?
Sometimes. Sometimes I will go on the air live on prankcallnation.com, and that's a, you know, a network of prank callers. They just kind of get on the air whenever they feel like it and start calling people. But lately I've been doing mostly just pre-recorded shows.
Actually, I just want to back up a second. I got so fascinated by your phone system that I didn't ask like a very basic question, which is just, can you say your name and can you just sort of identify yourself for this?
Okay. My name is Brad Carter, and I run a website called The Phone Losers of America, and the podcast I do is called The Snowplow Show, where I mostly just make prank phone calls to people.
Why The Snowplow Show?
I just wanted something that didn't mean anything. Like, used to, I did a show called The Phone Show, and I don't know, I felt just kind of, I don't know why, really. But the Snowplow Show, there's a comic strip out there called Toothpaste for Dinner. And he did a comic, he's inspired several prank calls of mine, just random things. but one of his comics was a flyer up on a bulletin board that said snowplow for sale. Should rhyme, but it doesn't. And they were just, it was just a comic about why doesn't snow and plow rhyme? Because it should. They're spelled the same. And then, you know, years ago, we started calling up people that were selling snowplows on Craigslist and just asking them that. And it was, it really ticked people off when we did that.
They would just get mad because it felt nonsensical?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, they wanted to sell their snowplow, and I was just asking them, why the hell doesn't this rhyme? Just.
And how long have you been doing this entire prank call? How long have you been prank calling people?
Oh, I'm embarrassed to say. I guess I started when I was probably under 10. My older brother started making prank calls with me. And he grew out of it, and I didn't, and now I'm 42 and still doing it.
And why haven't you grown out of it?
I don't, it's just fun. It's to me, it's just comedy. It's like stand-up, you know, like some people like stand-up comedy. I happen to like prank call comedy. So I really like listening to it from other people, and I like doing my own.
And what do you love about prank call comedy versus other kinds of comedy?
Well, I do like other, you know, I like stand-up comedy and all that, too. I don't know. I guess just, it's just fun to hear people get so upset about just the most ridiculous things. I don't know. Is that really an answer? I don't know.
That's sort of an answer. I think one thing that I find surprising, and I've only known you for 13 minutes, but you sound like a very mild, like, gentle person. Like, you don't sound like somebody, 13 minutes in, I'm not like, this guy would definitely enjoy pissing off strangers.
No, I'm pretty normal in real life. I meet listeners occasionally, and they always comment that, wow, you're not insane or anything. You're just some guy.
Do you feel like this is like prank calling is like an alter ego for you?
Yeah, I guess I would say that. I mean, it's just internet life versus real life. In real life, I'm just kind of, I'm really pretty quiet overall.
What do you do for work?
I work from home. I'm self-employed. Is this going in the interview?
Yeah, if you don't want to say, I'm so curious, but if you don't want to, I can totally understand if you're like, I don't want my job associated with my hobby, art, comedy, whatever.
Yeah, I'd rather not, but I'm self-employed.
Could you say something that's like vague? Like, for me, it's not like I just want to know, I'm trying to figure out like who you are and why this is fun, basically.
Okay. Well, I'm self-employed. I've been self-employed since about 1997, I guess. And so I guess that affords me a lot of time to make phone calls in my spare time. But I do work over the phone and over the internet. And I am kind of like an independent contractor. And I'd just rather not say what I do exactly because a lot of crazies listening to me. And
wait, really?
I get all kinds of weirdos and problems and I don't know. I have to kind of stay hidden from the internet, I feel like. You know, I've had cops sent to my house and pizzas and taxis. That's pretty harmless. But there's always people tracking me down and saying, hey, I got your address. And most of them are harmless, but then some of them try to cause problems for me.
Wait, cops, pizzas, and taxis?
Yeah, you know, the prank call where you send a pizza to someone's house.
Oh, I don't know that I knew that prank call, but I can imagine how it works.
Yeah. Like, used to when I did live shows on a schedule, like at a regular time, there were people, they would send pizzas to my house because they wanted to hear my doorbell ring in the middle of a show, which is funny. I get it, but it's kind of annoying. So I just try to keep my address unlisted and everything. And now that I'm saying this on the air, I'm sure that's going to be a challenge for everyone and it'll, it'll just multiply.
Oh, that is so annoying.
But whatever. Yeah, I'm used to it. I'm really like, it's been going on. It's because of the prank calls I make, you know, it just, people want to prank the prankster, I think.
And when did you start? Like, so you said you've been doing prank calls since you were a kid, but when did you start putting them on the internet?
As soon as the internet started existing. I was doing them before the internet, you know, before the internet became a thing. So I started recording them, I guess, shortly after I heard the Jerky Boys, because, I don't know, it just seemed like a really novel idea to record your prank calls so other people could hear them later. You know, used to, I just did them with friends and we did it for fun. So, I had a bunch of recordings before the internet started up. And
how would you, like, how did you start, when did you get online and how did you distribute them?
I guess around 1996, that's when the internet got really big. And that's also when I happened to get a computer that could handle audio. So I would just start converting my cassette tapes, you know, cassette tape pranks into audio to put on the internet, and people really enjoyed them back then, so I just kept doing it.
And where on the internet would you put them?
I had, I had a homepage. Everyone had a homepage in the late 90s. You know, it would be like your ISP's name, then a tilde symbol, and whatever. I would just put them on that site, just on my personal homepage, and then I started calling it the Phone Losers of America, and just kind of grew from there, I guess.
And were people finding it through word of mouth?
Yeah, I think so. You know, the internet was sort of small back then, so it was pretty easy to find me back then, before a ton of prank callers were on the internet.
And are there, I know Jerky Boys stuff, I feel like I know the cliche prank phone calls of, everybody's youth. And it seems like somehow they're all 1950s phone calls, is your refrigerator running stuff? The fact that you're doing this sort of on the internet for the internet, what are the genres of internet prank calls at this point? What kinds of prank calls do people do, or do you do?
Personally, I'm into pretending to be a business and just convincing someone that I'm with a business. I don't know how deep you want to get into this. Is this going to be a long? Okay. So, I don't know. It's really easy to call a business and just pretend to be, for example, with that business's corporate office. So just say, for example, Domino's Pizza. I'll call up a Domino's location somewhere in the country and I'll say, hey, this is the corporate office. We're having problems with your computer. Can you give me a bunch of your customers' names and phone numbers who just ordered pizzas? And they'll do it. It's really, really easy, which is kind of scary.
Wow.
And then I'll call up as Domino's and call these customers and just say insane things to them. Are you done with your pizza box yet? We need to come and recycle the pizza box for the next person. Or tell them I peed on their doorknob because I was really upset with the tip. But yeah, prank calls are really innovative now compared to, is your refrigerator running and all that stuff from back then.
Are there companies... Domino's sounded like a hypothetical example. Is that a real example or a hypothetical one?
I don't even know how much I'm breaking the law when I do stuff like that.
Right.
It's totally real. Yeah, we've done Domino's and Pizza Hut and Papa John's and everything. And I guess I started doing that on my own show, and then a bunch of other people started doing it too, which I think is awesome because it's a fun prank. And it's more or less harmless in the end. We upset people, and then eventually they figure out it was a prank somehow, and I guess it gives them all something to talk about. So everyone wins.
Well, it's funny because the things like the skullduggery involved in doing the prank, it's like even like the fact that, you've got a phone system at home for spoofing caller IDs, and the fact that you're doing essentially social engineering on companies, you're doing all the things that are really that a scammer would do, somebody who had really bad intentions, somebody wanted to steal money. But then you're going through all those steps, and the end result is, you want to call somebody and have a goofy phone call.
Yeah, exactly. This thing we did last week, there was public meetings for people protesting some crosswalk going up out in the streets. They didn't want the crosswalk there. I don't know, it's hard to explain, but there was a public meeting about it, and all of their names and phone numbers were on this public meeting page. So I called them up, and I pretended to be with the city that it was happening in, and said insane things at him. And
what kinds of things did you say?
Oh man. I don't know. One lady, the first lady I called, I'm like, hey, this is so-and-so from the city of Columbia. And we noticed you signed our sign-in sheet here and then you kept the pin and we want the pin back. But the newspaper figured it out that it was me and they did a story on it. And everyone they interviewed just felt like they were scam calls. They thought I was just out to steal information and do something horrible with it. But then the newspaper did a second story saying, oh, they were actually just prank calls. Oops.
And were people relieved? Were they mad? How did people feel?
I don't know. I probably a combination of both, I guess. I don't know how they felt.
Do you ever feel surprised that it's so easy to do a lot of this stuff?
At this point, I don't think so, because I've been doing it for so long. It's a little scary, though. Just really, you can call up anyone and pretend to be from wherever you want, and they'll give you information.
Are there, companies that that's not true for? Are there companies that you feel like are not sort of... hackable is not the word, but companies that you wouldn't be able to work your way into?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there is. There's probably a lot of them, but I stick to the easy ones. Pizza places are really easy. Comcast will do it.
Really?
Yeah, I never do banks or any kind of medical stuff because there's actual laws in place for that kind of thing.
Comcast is easy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can call Comcast and say, hey, I'm in a different department, and, you know, you're having computer problems, so pull up the last few orders you just did and give me all the information from them.
And they'll do it? They've done it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most of the time they'll do it. And it's not Comcast's fault. It's just any customer service person. You know, they're not paying them that much, I guess, and, you know, they're not, I don't mean to sound like I'm insulting them, but they're not geniuses. So they're just customer service people just doing their jobs.
I guess also these companies are just really, really large. Like, you probably spend a lot of your day getting a call from somebody from somewhere else who's asking you to do something. And if you did sort of say, like, are you really in the Poughkeepsie branch? You would never make it through your workload.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and I rarely mess with anything that's small, because, I don't know, I wouldn't want to piss off, you know, just a mom and pop, a bunch of mom and pop customers.
So that's something that I'm curious also is, like, what is the ethical code of this? Like, what is cool to do, what is not cool to do, broadly speaking?
I don't know. I don't want to make these people lose customers, so usually I get pretty silly in my calls, and I just, you know, it really pisses them off at first, but then I just keep going with more and more unbelievable stuff, and I think eventually they just realize that this isn't real. I try to do that as much as I can, because, you know, I don't want to turn these people against their companies.
So, like, a good prank call, would it be like, a good prank call would have, there'd be a period where it was absurd but believable, and then it would get more and more and more absurd, and then like a well-executed one, by the end of it, they're laughing and hanging up, or they're hanging up like they know what is going on.
Yeah, or not even laughing. They're still angry with me for pranking them. But at least they don't think I'm Walgreens anymore or whatever.
And how do you feel towards the people you're pranking?
What do you mean by that?
I mean, do you feel like, is it like, oh, they're kind of stupid to fall for this, or do you ever feel bad for them? Like, I'm trying to think what the word is for what I'm looking for, but like, do you have any sort of feeling for them, or is it just like they're kind of like marks?
That makes me sound like a hitman or something. I don't know. I don't feel like I'm any better than them. I don't think they're necessarily stupid. Just people are prone to believing things when you call them up and they think you're somebody you say you are.
Yeah, that is totally reasonable. I guess I wondered, I felt like in my imagination, the two ways I could imagine feeling about it are like, are actually, you know, like, these people are stupid, they shouldn't fall for this, and like, I'm rubbing their nose in it, or just like, I enjoy making prank calls, and I can understand why these people fall for it, but it's really fun to make them fall for it.
Yeah, it's really fun. And a lot of people, they'll end up laughing in the end with me. They think it's hilarious that I'm messing with them. But then on the other end, there's the people who are just freak out and curse at me nonstop and make threats at me, and it's hard to feel bad for them because they're so uptight and screaming at me and everything. It makes it kind of funny.
What's like one of the funniest calls you've ever done? Like, one of the ones that was the most fun to do?
I used to call up people in rich neighborhoods, you know, like California mansions, or not mansions necessarily, but really nice neighborhoods and stuff, and I would pretend to be a neighbor of theirs. And I would say, I found a tunnel underneath my house, and it goes all over the neighborhood, and I think I'm under their house right now. And it's crazy how many people would believe this. And I would try to get them to come to the tunnel and meet me there, and there was this one lady in particular, I can remember. I don't know what her... I think she must have been on meds or something, because she believed everything I said. And I convinced her that I was in her laundry room, right underneath it, and I got her to, like, jump up and down and pound on the walls, and I got her to start singing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Because I was trying to, you know, see if I could hear her, because I was underneath her house. And it's just insane that she did all that stuff. I've told other people as I'm, like, banging on their ceiling with a broom from the tunnels. Those are always really fun.
Wait, banging on their ceiling or banging on their floor?
Oh, banging on my ceiling, which is the tunnel, which would be their floor.
There's also something, like, that's such a wonderful thing to imagine. Like, part of me, I feel like I don't think I would fall for this one, but one of the reasons I would want to fall for it is, like, I love the idea of this unwanted tunnel, like, snaking under a bunch of McMansions.
Yes, I've done that one a lot of times. I like to be really cartoony in my calls, and it's just super funny if they actually believe the crazy things I tell them.
Do you ever feel nostalgic for earlier technology from a pranking perspective?
Yeah, definitely. Like this phone system I have set up in my house, you know, I have all these extension phones hooked up to it, but I have all these extensions for old answering machines. Like, I have a shelf of answering machines here in my room, and they're all hooked up. And people can call into them, and they can hack into them. You know, they guess the codes, and they change the messages. And I get calls from all over the world, people that, I guess, you know, they're, a lot of them are kind of young, and they never got to experience the fun of hacking someone's answering machine. So this is just a weird legal way for them to do it.
Wait. Walk me through this.
I brought a whole new thing into this. I'm sorry.
You should not be sorry. I am fascinated. So there's a wall of your house that is a bunch of old answering machines, and it's like people who grew up in the people who grew up after, like, answering machine voicemail. It's just so they can call and try to break in?
Yeah, or people that used to do it, you know, back in the 80s or 90s or whenever, and they want to try it again without breaking any laws. They can call into my phone system, and it says, press 1 to hack into this Panasonic model, press 2 to hack into the Sony, and there's just a bunch of different machines they can try, and they figure out the codes, and they get in and change the message or delete all the messages. That's something that happens occasionally in prank calls. You know, I'll call someone, their machine picks up, and I'll be like, oh, I know this machine. I recognize that tone. So I'll just start hitting buttons, and I'll get into their machine and change their outgoing message, which is very illegal and I shouldn't do, and I try not to. But it happens occasionally, usually when I'm drinking.
You sound like a jewel thief a little bit, too, or like a bank, like somebody who robs vaults. Like, you're like, I shouldn't pick that lock, but I miss that old lock. Like, I'm going to do it just this one time.
That's a good way of putting it, I guess. That makes me sound really exciting, so I'm good with that.
Can you hack into, like, new voicemail, like iPhones?
It's not as easy, because the thing with old answering machines is that they would listen for the correct tones, but most of them would just ignore incorrect tones. So you could just hit every number, you know, just randomly hit numbers until you finally get it, because it just listens for the correct combination. And, of course, you know, modern voicemails, they if they hear a wrong tone, they'll immediately cut you off. But there are a lot of people that use the last four digits of their phone number as their code. There's a lot of people that use 1234. I hear people on other prank shows, I usually don't mess with voicemails myself, but on other prank call shows, on Prank Call Nation, they try 1234 and they get in a lot.
It's sort of crazy that people are releasing podcasts recording themselves doing phone hacking. Like, essentially they're committing a crime. I mean, I know it's not like murder or anything, but like, I would just be worried. Like, I'd be worried to do something illegal and then immediately broadcast it.
Yeah, it's kind of a bad idea. And on the rare occasions when I do get into someone's answering machine, I usually edit that part out of my podcast version. It's just for the live people.
So, like, the reason that we sort of started wondering about all this stuff was that we heard from this guy who had had what he thought was a very bizarre experience with Comcast, where a customer service rep had called him, and she had said that she was calling from Comcast, and she was calling him because he tweeted something insulting the company, and she was like, did we or did we not fix the problem that caused, like, you had a disagreement with us, we resolved it, why don't you delete this tweet? And he was like, because I don't delete my tweets. And she essentially, like, bullied him into deleting the tweet. But then it, like, escalated from there, where she was like, you know, if you and your girlfriend broke up and you called her a dickhole online and got back together, you wouldn't leave the dickhole tweet up. And he was like, why are you, like, should, like, a customer service person really use the word dickhole? And she was like, yeah, it's in our customer service manual. I'm reading it right now. And she, like, threatened to fine him if he didn't take down other tweets, and, like, threatened to, like, kick him off the company's, like, system. And he went through the whole call, and when he hung up, he just thought, like, I had one of those famously bad interactions with a Comcast customer service person. And then he posted about it, and somebody on the internet was like, dude, that's a prank call.
It's kind of sad that he couldn't figure that out on his own.
Really?
Don't you think? I mean, if Comcast calls you and they're calling you a dickhole, like, that should be your first clue?
Well, in his defense, like, what he said was, you know, 3 months before that, he'd read a Gizmodo story about how Comcast had sent somebody a bill where they called them an asshole. Like, their name on the bill had been replaced with asshole.
Oh, yeah, there were several of those. That was bizarre.
But so, in his mind, he's like, this is another rogue Comcast customer service agent, and he had heard, and this was true, that the guy who'd had the asshole bill had gotten, a bunch of years of free service from the company. So he's like, look, if I just stick it out with this jerk, I'll call back and I'll get, like, you know, like a free cable modem or whatever.
Yeah, there's been a lot of stories like that with Comcast, it seems like, in the last year or two, with crazy, like, legit customer service people on the phone with them where they record it. And then I've seen that thing where they put something on their bill, like, two or three times in the past year.
But from that perspective, doesn't it sort of make sense that something that from another company would be absurd, like, wouldn't seem that absurd from Comcast?
Yeah, I guess not. No, you're right. I guess maybe that's just becoming the norm these days. Customer service reps calling you a dickhole.
Okay, maybe not the norm.
I really think whoever did that, though, I think they're on our network, you know, the prank call nation network thing. And
what makes you say that?
Well, it's something that happens a lot on the shows, on, you know, on our, what do you even call it? You know, just in our community, a lot of people do that. They'll just look up on Twitter and they'll see people complaining. They'll just search Twitter for, you know, just customer service, horrible, or, you know, terrible customer service. They see who's complaining. They look up their numbers and then they give them a call and see what happens. Which I don't mean to brag, but I pioneered that years ago and everyone does it now.
What do you mean you pioneered it?
I don't think anyone else had ever really done that before. And I started doing that, I think in 2010, maybe. I just decided, I think I saw someone complain on Twitter about something and I thought, oh, I wonder if I can just find other people that complain and give them a call. And it turned out to be a really easy thing to do. You just, you know, there's so many people complaining about companies that it's really easy.
Do you ever hear from the companies? Like, has anyone from a company ever contacted you and been like, please stop doing this?
No, but we've definitely caused a lot of company memos to happen.
How do you know?
Oh, because we call the employees of the company and we have them read the memo to us. Like, hey, this
is... How do you get them to do it?
We say, hey, this is the corporate office. We want to make sure you got that memo that we sent out. And they'll pull it up on their computer or on paper or wherever it is, and they'll read it to us. And I've also had listeners, like we did Walmart photo studios a lot for a while, you know, getting people's names and numbers when they get their photos developed. And a listener, I think, sent me a picture they saw behind the counter warning the employees not to fall for the, you know, not to fall for that trick. So lots of memos have happened.
Does that work? Do the memos work?
I think they do for a while, but then the turnover rates are high enough that it doesn't last very long.
Do you feel proud knowing that you've inspired a memo?
Yeah, very. I guess, I mean, it's cool to make memos happen, but I guess it could be a good thing. It could be a positive thing, sort of.
What do you mean?
Well, maybe I'm saving them from having an actual scammer call to get information and do something horrible with it.
I guess. I'm skeptical. I feel like the fun of it... And totally correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like the fun of it is just like the same way you can derail, you can make someone have to participate in 5 minutes of absurdity with a good prank call. You're making like the president of a company tell people.
Yeah, that's
like you imagine the headache.
Yeah, that's the best part. Now, when I said that before, I like to just try and rationalize the things that I do with ridiculous ideas. You know, saying the people I prank. Even though I've made them really upset, at least I've given them something to talk about with their family and bond over. You know, that horrible guy that called us on the phone. It brings them closer together as a family.
So in your heart of hearts, you don't think it's really about making strangers' families closer or warning?
It's just about prank calls and having fun with it. And
do you ever... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just thinking, you're probably going to cut this up and make me sound really insane.
No, I really... I mean, I guess, like, what is interesting to me is, like, literally how you do this, the world of people doing it, funny calls that you've done, and, like, I'm interested in, like, how you think about it. Because I don't think anybody, except for maybe somebody at, like, you know, Domino's' customer security team or whatever, I don't think anybody would really say, like, this is some huge evil in the world or anything like that. Like, it's like nonsense and it's annoying to some people and I completely understand why, and it's funny to other people and I understand that too. I'm interested in how you think about it and how you do rationalize it or not rationalize it, but I don't think it's like, I don't think you're an insane person at all. I mean, like, I feel like the thing that drives you to do a podcast of prank calls is probably very similar to the thing that drives me to do a podcast about internet stuff. Like, it amuses me, and it's fun that it amuses other people.
Yeah, exactly. It's just fun to entertain people, and I'm sure I wouldn't do nearly as much of it if people didn't listen to my show.
When did you realize you were good at prank calls? Like, not just that you could do them and had fun, but that you were good at it.
Oh, man, I don't know. I don't think of myself as good. We all, like, on the network, on our community, we all do just pretty much the same thing. We're all just, you know, a lot of people are better than me. You know, the pranks are all just really fun and innovative. These people that make calls online, it's a lot of fun to listen to.
But you must think of yourself as kind of good. Like, at least good enough for it to be worth the amount of time you put in, and good enough to, like, attract an audience. Like, that's a level of skill.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I listen to my old stuff from, you know, the 90s or whatever, and I definitely think that's not as awesome as it is these days.
What's the thing that you listen back and you hear yourself doing where you're like, ugh, I never would have done that now?
I don't know. I made a few prank calls to 911. I'm very against that kind of thing these days.
Oh, and, God. That is bad.
Yeah, that's really bad. That's horrible. And I didn't do any bad. Like, I remember I called 911 once, and I was just asking them. I said, I really want to get a job with 911, and just asking them ridiculous questions, you know, like what I have to do to get hired there and everything. And they would just be like, sir, this is an emergency line. And I'd call them and ask them what time it was. And if they told me, I'd be like, okay, thank you, bye.
What changed your thinking about that? Like, why did you decide that wasn't funny and it was, like, a bad thing to do?
I don't know, just because you know that it's an emergency line and you shouldn't screw with that. It could seriously affect, you know, the real emergencies. And I try to tell my listeners, you know, what types of things are a bad idea. There's, like, rules of prank calling on phonelosers.org/rules, and I think that helps younger prank callers not do that type of thing that I used to occasionally do.
What are the rules?
Just kind of a set of guidelines, like, you know, don't make threats, don't pretend to be the police. Basically just a big list of things to not get yourself in trouble.
Wait, and it's at phonelosersofamerica.com, or is it phonelosers.com?
Phonelosers.org, or .com, either one works. /rules.
I like that you guys are .org.
Yeah, for some reason, the guy that set up phonelosers.org for me in the 90s made it .org. I kind of would have preferred .com. It's confusing at this point, but I try to make them clones of each other, both sites.
It's nice, though. I'm looking at them. Like, they're almost all... It's like 10% how not to get caught and 90% how not to hurt other people.
Yeah, yeah. I hate to hear, you know, prank calls that actually hurt people. Like, have you ever heard of PrankNet or Prank University?
No, what's that?
Well, they've been in the news a lot of times. They're the guys that use this social engineering stuff for just pure evil. And it's fascinating to listen to. I could listen to it all day. And I laugh, and I feel ashamed for laughing. But they do things like they call up hotels, people in their hotel rooms, and they say, hey, this is the front desk. And they'll say there's a fire, there's a gas leak, and they'll get them to, like, smash their windows out to help the gas escape. You know, they'll get people to throw their TVs out the window. They'll get people to, like, bash their, what are those things called? Those sprinklers, fire sprinklers. They'll set off their sprinklers. And it's, I'm ashamed to say this, but it's really funny to listen to someone get sprayed in the face with water over the phone. But it's just a horrible thing. They cause so much damage, and it really does hurt people. That's really crossing the line for me.
And what's that? It's Prank University?
Yeah, PrankNet, all one word. You'll see some stuff on the Smoking Gun about them, and then their more recent name is Prank University.
And why did they end up on Smoking Gun?
Because, like, I'm talking about, like, these hotels that they, you know, got them to set off sprinklers and, you know, throw TVs out windows and stuff. But they did that hundreds of times, like, all over the United States. You know, I'm betting, you know, millions in damages from all these calls they've done.
Jeez, I'm looking at now on their Wikipedia page. There's something about they called a KFC in New Hampshire, and they convinced employees to spray fire suppressing chemicals all over, and then take their clothes off and urinate on each other.
Yeah, and they did it. He told them that the chemicals from the fire suppression system were slowly eating through their skin, and they needed to counteract the chemical reaction or something like that. And the only way you can do that is to pee on each other.
Yeah, that feels really mean.
Yeah,
and almost like weirdly, like it feels like an assault.
Yeah, and at the end, they were trying to get them to set their clothes on fire. I mean, it was wintertime. There was snow out and everything, and they were out there naked in front of the KFC, throwing their clothes in a pile and getting ready to set them on fire. And I mean, we don't allow this type of thing on our community. I just feel like I should mention that because I've mentioned Prank Call Nation a few times. We would kick someone out if they did anything even close to that.
And have you had to kick people out? Like, do you have to sort of rein people in or whatever?
No, we've never had to kick anyone out for those reasons. I think everyone is pretty clear on the rules.
Do you think they're motivated by the same stuff as you are, or do you think they're motivated differently?
I don't know. I think for some of them, it might just be entertaining people, and for other people, it might be like a power rush of getting someone to do something crazy, or just getting somebody to be really angry. I've heard other people explain it like blowing off steam. Like this one guy, Jihad, he does the Art of Phone Larking show. He says if I wasn't making prank calls, I'd probably be out, just vandalizing buildings and causing anarchy. He's kidding, of course, but I kind of see what he's saying. You know, it's just something to do.
But it feels like it also, like, when you describe him saying that and that other incident, like, it actually does feel like what sounds different to me about what you do versus something like that is that does sound angry. Like, it sounds like you're mad and you're taking it on strangers, whereas I don't know that what you're doing sounds angry to me. Like, it doesn't sound like you're, like, I don't know, that, like, you like the absurdity of it, but it doesn't sound like you're, like, these idiots, like, look at what I've made them do.
No, it's hard to feel that way, because everyone does it. It's just, people just believe things over the phone, especially if they think you're their boss. And
have you ever been pranked successfully?
No. No, not at all. Other than people sending various things to my house, I guess that counts, but
I don't count that.
Yeah, if someone were to call me on the phone and, no, it just wouldn't work. I'm a pro. I just can't imagine anything working.
Have you had things happen where something unusual happened to you and you assumed it was a prank?
Nothing I can think of offhand. And usually the calls I've gotten from listeners, it's usually just them saying, oh my God, it's you. My name is so-and-so, and they just want to talk and chat and stuff.
I just want to go back to that Comcast thing. Like, so you said you were pretty sure it was somebody within your network, just because that sort of style of prank is a style you guys do a lot?
Yeah, it's pretty common. One of the members of our community, he created some kind of tool. It's like an online tool. I don't think it's a public one. It's just something that people in the network have access to. But it automatically looks up people who complain about things. And I don't use it myself, so I don't know exactly how it works. But I think it also attempts to look up their phone number. So it's just really easy to use. You just click through and find a complaint that looks good, and you might have their phone number.
What's it called?
What's what called?
The tool?
I don't think it has a name. And I don't know if the guy who made it wants me to name him, so I probably shouldn't do that.
That's okay. But
yeah, it's a really neat thing. He creates a lot of stuff like that just makes prank calling very easy for people.
Like what else?
Oh, what else? I don't know. Like, he's got a tool that works with Skype that allows people to spoof their caller ID, even if they don't have their own caller ID spoofing equipment. You just type commands into Skype, and it automatically changes your phone number. Things like that. I don't know. There's other things, too. I just can't think of them. What else he's done?
And do you think, like, one of the things we were interested in is trying to see if we could actually talk to, if we can find the person who did this specific prank. Like, it was a woman is one thing, like, that helps narrow it down, because it feels like a lot of people who do this are men. And I don't know if it was broadcast, but it sounds like it was broadcast. Like, it sounds like somebody was doing it for a podcast.
Oh, you've heard the actual call? Or
no, just this description of it. It was like, I don't know, something about the length of it and the involvedness and that they didn't crack at all. It didn't feel like somebody, like, on a sleepover or something like that. It felt like somebody was doing it to save it, to distribute it. I guess, like, the quality of it.
I see. Yeah. Yeah, most we have just maybe 3 or 4 tops females on our network, and I'm pretty sure I have a feeling of which one it was, and I've talked to her already, and she says that sounds like something I would say, but the actual, I don't know for sure. I don't know if that was me or not, but she said she would talk to you. I'm just waiting for her to get back to me on how to get in touch with you.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yeah, and it really does sound like something she would say, and she's always doing funny stuff, She's really good at, being with corporate and being with businesses and stuff.
Do you ever feel bad for the companies?
A little bit. I mean, it's always fun to do horrible things to Comcast, because nobody likes them. But then the pizza thing, for example, like Domino's, I know those are all local franchises, and I don't like to... I don't like to do things that really cost people money. So I do my best to make sure they know it was a prank in the end.
The thing that, when we started looking into this, the thing that has most surprised me is we talked to a guy from Comcast. I think he was their head of security. He was in their security department. And I was talking to him about all this. And I was saying to him, like, that they were in a weird position because they have such a bad reputation for customer service, it's really easy for people to pretend to be them. Like, it makes them a good target. And he was saying, like, yeah, I know. Like, I know that we've screwed up in big, public, embarrassing ways. But he was like, we've spent a ton of money. We're trying to be better. We're working really hard. And talking to him, I felt sympathy for him, which, like, I don't usually feel a ton of sympathy for, like, large corporations who are known for their bad customer service. But I felt bad because it was like, it must suck to be trying to turn the ship around. And then people go out and they, like, everyone's willing to believe one more bad thing about you. And so people go out and they pretend that you're doing a bad thing. And you're just like, ah.
Yeah, okay. You just made me feel bad. I feel bad now.
Actually?
Well, I don't know. I'm just trying to be funny, I guess, but...
Your deadpan is it's lethal because I'm, like, so on the hunt for sincerity.
Yeah, it's all the prank calling. It makes me do a good deadpan, I think.
You don't feel bad?
Not really, no. Not from my own calls, anyway. I've heard other people kind of do things that seemed a little bit out of line, and, you know, they just... I don't know. It's just different styles, and some styles I like and some I don't. But I do my best not to feel bad about my own prank calls.
And can you give me, like, the counterargument? Like, why shouldn't I feel bad for a Comcast?
I guess the most obvious reason is because they're a big, evil corporation. You know, I don't really believe that myself. You know, Comcast is awesome. I use them. I don't have any problems. I guess my argument would just be that, I don't know, it's just a prank call, and it's not real, and most of them realize that.
That's fair. I mean, he was like, the guy was like, he wasn't like, they're destroying our business and my kids are going to starve. He was like, it's annoying. He's like, it's annoying and I wish they would do something else with their time.
So the guy that received this prank call, how did he feel about it? Like, did he feel victimized or anything? Or was he just out?
I think when he thought it was Comcast, he was livid because a company that he was paying money to treated him very poorly. And then he wrote about it. I think he felt embarrassed. Like, not, like, ashamed terribly, but I think he felt embarrassed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. Especially if you're pouring all this time into telling everybody about your experience, and it turns out to not be real.
I think that's exactly it. Like, writing this sort of, like, justifiably self-righteous blog post, and then realizing that actually you got suckered doesn't feel great.
Yeah. But then you said he was just doing it in hopes of getting something for free. So
yeah.
Then on that end of it, you don't feel so bad for him because of his motivations.
Well, so I said that to Comcast. I was like, this guy was trying to sucker you guys. Then because of that, he got suckered by somebody else. Doesn't it kind of bother you that you still have to defend him? And they were like, no, he's one of our customers. We'll always defend them.
It's the circle of life. You know, everyone's suckering each other.
Except for this one guy at Comcast who wants to protect everybody.
Yeah, that's true.
The people in your network, like, I'm assuming you're not all in the same city or anything. Like, how do people find and connect with each other?
It's just people that enjoy listening to prank calls. They find us, however, you know, on the internet, and they listen for a while, and then some of them just decide that they want to start making prank calls, too. And they'll just, they'll start doing their own shows on their own channels. We use Mixlr.com to broadcast our show on Prank Call Nation, but then people start up their own Mixlrs, they'll start doing their own shows, and I guess we all just kind of take a vote together. There's no central person running Prank Call Nation, it's just kind of a bunch of us. We'll just decide whether or not we want a certain person on. But I think they're just like the rest of us. They just enjoy listening to prank calls, and they want to give it a shot themselves.
Thea wanted to ask if you can give us any of the numbers for the Portland airport. How come you want numbers for the Portland airport, Thea? To call it? You just want to hear the payphone ring? She just wants to hear the payphone ring. Is there one you can give us?
Yeah, let me log into my admin thing here. It's a waiting area where there's always a ton of people sitting, waiting for their friends' flights to arrive, their family or whatever.
Do people ever pick up there if you just call a payphone?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when I was a kid, I used to love pranking payphones. And we just, me and my best friend from grade school, we would go around town on our bikes, you know, writing down payphone numbers. Every time my parents went out to a store or something, I would, you know, go with them and bring my notebook and write down payphone numbers. And we just had a lot of fun just calling them up and seeing who would answer. And I don't even remember what we said to them. I don't even know if it was considered prank calls at that point. We were just talking to people. Okay, you ready?
If we call in, yeah, give me a number.
Okay, area code 503. Uh-huh. 249-9843. I have the numbers all written down from the entire bank of payphones, but they're in a notebook somewhere. I had my son walk over there and write them all down while I was waiting.
How old is your son?
I think at the time he was probably 13 or 14.
Does he do prank calls?
No, he doesn't. He's into his own thing.
What does he think of it?
I think both of my kids are, they're more or less amused by it. Occasionally I'll play something for them and they think it's funny, but it's just, you know, they're not into it, which is fine with me. That'd be weird if they listened.
If we call the Portland number, if somebody picks up the phone, what should I say?
I don't know. Say you're with the Portland Airport Security Department and you're watching them on the security camera and ask them to please stop acting suspicious.
That's pretty good.
Or say that you're with the TSA, which is nearby, and you're watching them from your cell phone and you think they're cute. How's that?
I like that one better.
All right. That could be fun.
That does sound fun.
I'm going to turn you into a prank caller in the end. You're going to stop doing your show and do prank calls.
I know our podcast just like slowly drifts into another format.
I'd be really proud if that happened.
Do you think you would ever just get bored of doing prank calls?
Oh, I can see that happening. I mean, it doesn't seem likely because I've been doing it for, you know, over 30 years now, and it's just a lot of fun still to me. I really need to grow up, I think. But no, it's a lot of fun. But yeah, I can see it getting boring in another 10 years or something as I approach retirement.
Do you have, like, is there a time of day where you do it? Like, do you have a routine?
For the show, for the podcast, I usually do things during the day, you know, just normal work hours. And lately, people have started contributing to the show on Patreon, and they're signing up on my website to get, you know, secret shows and high-quality versions, which is almost, it's starting to turn it into a job, which is a little weird.
Is it a thing where you could become a professional prank caller?
It's possible, which is kind of scary, because, you know, what if... if that happens and then I just suddenly get bored with it and I don't want to do it anymore. Because there's some days I try to make calls just because I have to put out a couple shows a week or people start yelling at me and I just am not feeling it or things aren't working out. I just don't want to do it. So it's almost turning into a real job at this point.
That sounds sort of hellish. I mean, there's something that sucks about the thing you love and then just like, ugh, I got to eat 20 chocolate bars today.
Yep. But no, overall, I have a lot of fun with it. And when things don't work out, I'll just quit for the day and do it some other day.
And when things don't work out, is it like you just have to be in the zone or is it just luck or like...
A lot of it's luck. You know, like people just won't answer or they won't fall for whatever I'm saying. You know, it's no fun if they know it's a prank call. It's like, I don't put those in the show.
And how... Do you edit stuff?
Oh, yeah. It's very edited. I mean, no, not the prank calls themselves. I'll edit out like silences and stuff. But
yeah.
No, the prank calls are presented pretty much as they happen.
And like you had said, I can't remember what it was in reference to, but you said earlier you were talking about something you'd done and you said like, you'd said, oh, I think that's sort of illegal or whatever. Like, how well do you know when you're on the right or the wrong side of the law with this stuff?
I don't know. It's mostly just common sense. And I, you know, just being in this community and stuff, we give each other information. Like a lot of people don't know that you're not allowed to prank call pharmacies, and they might try doing that. I'll be like, hey, you probably shouldn't do that. There's the, what is it called, the HIPAA Act?
Oh, and because it's like it's to protect patient privacy.
Yeah, yep. And apparently calling and tricking them out of patient information is illegal, I guess. That's part
and
of the
do
law.
You know, people in your community who've either been arrested or had, you know, legal consequences from calls?
This one guy, Carlito, from the Madhouse show, this happened years ago. I guess he prank called an anger management hotline, and I can't remember how the call went. I don't remember it being really hilarious or anything, but I guess he was doing a live show at the time. This is before I listened to him, even. And I guess the cops showed up there. But I don't think he got in any trouble. They just kind of showed up. But it's just so weird because it's an anger management hotline. It's not like a suicide hotline or anything. So I don't understand why the police showed up at his house. But that's the only thing I can think of.
And have you met other prank call people in person?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a few years ago in 2011, a bunch of us met in Vegas at a computer hacker convention, which I was going to. And I guess some of them went because I was going. And it was a nice gathering. It was a fun time.
How come you were going to a computer hacker convention?
Oh, that's just one of the other things I'm into. You know, answering machine hacking, and it's just been one of my other interests. It's just computer security and telephone technology and stuff like that.
Do prank calls and hacking feel related?
No, not really at all. It just happens to be two of my interests. I mean, hacking, you know, social engineering happens a lot with prank calls, which is related to hacking. So I guess there's that link. But no, overall, there's no real relationship there.
And you have, is there audio, is there like tape of times where, when you'll like say like call Domino's and social engineer in like customer information, is that something that you have tape that we could use? Like, do you broadcast that, or is that like background research?
I've got a couple of those up on my YouTube page, which I could send you links to.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, there's one in particular I remember. I call up this Domino's employee, and this is after memos have come out. I called him up and I said, "Hey, this is the corporate office. I just need to warn you that some people are calling up and pretending to be the corporate office. So if anyone calls and pretends to be the corporate office, don't listen to them because they're fake, okay?" And I got him to agree, okay. I'm like, "Oh, and by the way, we're having problems with your computer. Can you pull up the last few customers?" And he did it. He gave me customer information. I know on a couple of those, that happened several times. I know on one of them I yelled at him, like, "What are you doing? I just told you not to do that."
Oh, it's like Inception. When the person pranked you, when people pranked you and sent cops to your house, like, what happens then?
I don't know what happened. It's such a weird story, and I don't understand it.
What do you mean you don't understand it?
Okay, so I got a message from a guy on Yahoo Messenger. This is 12 or so years ago, and my address was listed back then. I was in the phone book and everything. But this guy, he told me, he said he works with the police, or he knows a lot of police department people, and he knows the police are watching my house, and a police is going to show up any minute at my house, and they just want to confirm that I still live there, and the police is going to make up a story that they received a 911 call from my house. And then the police would say that, oh, maybe a neighbor ended up on your cordless phone or something like that. And the police showed up and did that. And I will never understand why that happened or how.
That's so weird.
Yeah, it was very bizarre.
I feel like my guess would be he just called the cops and sent them to your house. And then he told you that stuff so that you would screw it up. But then if the cops actually said that, that's so weird.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. You know, my car is out there all the time. I was like married with kids. They can easily see that I live there.
Do you worry that somewhere there's a recording of that call from somebody else's perspective? Like that person who called you, like that was a prank and that it just like exists somewhere?
I never really thought about that. I'm not worried about it. This was a long time ago in another state. It was just a really weird experience. And I have people sending, you know, the Mormons to my house and pizzas. And it doesn't happen much anymore because I'm fairly unlisted. But yeah, any day now I'm going to get swatted, I'm sure.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. No, it's never happened before. For the most part, I don't know. There's not a whole lot of troublemakers in our community. They're just there to enjoy the calls. But there's always someone that has to, that wants to just, I don't know, just mess with everyone. Prank the pranksters.
It is still sort of, it is like, stunning to me how like mild and nice you are. This is not an elaborate like character.
I have you so fooled. No, right now I'm playing my character called Alex. Were you want to talk to the real me in this interview?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I'm kidding. No, I'm pretty normal in real life.
And is that true for most of the people? Like, are most people pretty like calm and nice? And then when they get into it, they're nuts, or are there people that are like, is it all over the map? Like, what's the average personality?
I think it's all over the map. I hear that about other people. You know, they'll meet with each other and they'll just kind of tell me, oh, he's really normal and boring in real life. You know, just normal people with wives and kids and stuff like that. But then, you know, on the weekends, on a Friday night or whatever, they'll get on their computer and do a prank show and they'll just be completely insane people. But yeah, I think for the most part, it's most of them are probably normal, I would guess. They seemed normal when I met them all at that convention a few years ago.
And is there any other time in your life where you just, like, let loose? Or is this, like, the place where you do it?
Let loose in which way?
Like, go from, like mild, nice dude to, like, you know, like unwinding or whatever. Just, like, this feels, like, I feel like a lot of people have this in their life. It's, like, 23 hours a day I'm this person, but for 1 hour, like whether it's like to unwind or decompress or because it's fun, like, you know, like I go out on stage and I do stand up and I'm like this, or like I, you know, like, is there any other place where you feel like that happens for you, where you're like somebody else, or where you're somebody who knew you and like you're normal in the rest of your life would be surprised?
I don't think so. Are you asking like if I yell at waitresses and stuff?
Yeah, do you yell at waitresses?
No, never. And maybe I don't because I do all that on the phone. No, I'm not a mean person. I don't go off on people or anything like that.
And do you ever see a connection between, like, the kinds of calls you want to do and something that's going on in your life? Like, if you're feeling, like, really sad, will you want to do more calls or less calls or anything?
I don't think I have an answer for that. I don't know. I don't really get depressed or sad or anything very much at all.
What if you have, like, a bad day at work? Like, what if you're feeling, like, cranky and mad?
I would probably just not do a show if I just, you know, if I was like that. I probably just would not make calls, which I do plenty of times. You know, it's been like 5 days since I've done any right now, I think. But that's just because I've been really busy.
Yeah.
Sorry, horrible answer. I don't know.
No. I'm just curious. I'm just like, this is great. I'm just trying to like be inside your head for a second. So I'm like thinking about things that are like this for me. Like I feel like lucky, like I like making this podcast and also it's a job. So sometimes it can be, if I'm really happy and we're doing a really goofy episode, it's like the greatest because it's the thing and the actual thing are like in sync with each other. Mm-hmm. And if I'm like super pissed off or sad and then we have to do something that's really fun, I'm like, ugh, like it doesn't feel fun because you're like,
yeah,
sort of performing. And prank call feels like in some ways it's performance.
Yeah. Now that you mention it, I have had people tell me I sound really down in my podcast, like in a certain episode, like I just don't have a lot of energy, I guess.
And were they right?
Yeah, I think they were, but I don't know. I guess that could be, you know, have to do with how I'm feeling at the time, but I can't remember the exact episodes or how I was actually feeling.
Yeah.
So.
All right, let me ask Fia if are you good on everything? This is awesome. Yeah. Okay, so Fia will probably send you a follow-up just so we can get those clips, and can you just let us know if the other person who may have done that call, if she can talk as well? This is like, I feel like we have found a stranger and more interesting world than we really expected to, which is really nice.
That's really flattering. Thank you.
Yeah.
I talked to this girl on Skype, and it seems to take her 24 hours to respond to my messages each time I message her. I'm turning on Skype right now to see maybe if she's responded yet, because I asked her if she had an email or some other way for you guys to contact her. She's a fun prank caller. She's really good at, I don't know, just pushing people's buttons and sound, but at the same time sounding really professional. We've done things together before over the phone.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like from his telling of it.
Yeah, there was this one call between me and this girl. Her name's Mistress Morgan, by the way. I don't know if you should really say that on the air until you talk to her.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. She says she will talk to you, so it's probably fine. But there was one call where she was just, we were talking to Radio Shack people, and she was just a horrible employee, and the guy demanded to talk to a manager, so I came on as the manager, and he told me all about what she did, and I started pretending to, like, punch her in the face, and she was crying and stuff.
Oh my god. That's insane.
Yep. There's another guy, exact same thing. I think I was the bad employee, he was the manager, and he started punching me and threw me out of the store. And then I came back maybe 5 minutes later when he was still talking to the guy. And I came back with a gun, started playing gun sound effects, shooting him.
Oh,
which I think is probably crossing a line, you know, making someone think someone got shot. But he had to know that was a joke.
Well, and that's like, it's not putting anyone's life in danger.
No.
It's not like...
It was really funny.
That's the end of the interview with PJ Vogt from the Reply All podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed that and you learned a lot from it, such as the fact that Mistress Morgan is horrible about responding to Skype messages, and that I can trick some podcast host into thinking that I'm a completely nice guy. Sadly, even though PJ said that he was going to stop doing his current podcast and start doing prank calls instead, that never happened. A bunch of episodes have come out since this one, and I was being completely sincere with him when I told him that I liked the Reply All podcast, and I suggest that all of you listen to it. I have seriously listened to probably 75% of the episodes that they've put out. It's really good stuff. They're short episodes. They're only 30 minutes long, unlike this show where you have to listen to me go on and on for about an hour at a time. And their episodes, they're just kind of like short stories about internet people. So a lot of the times when I listen to an episode, I've already heard about the thing that they're talking about, but I still learn a lot from them. So if you like NPR-style shows, then you'll probably like the Reply All podcast, and I will have a link to the show in the show notes, to the Reply All show, I mean, or you can just get on the Googles and search for Reply All podcast, and it's the one that shows up on Gimlet Media. That's the one. You should listen to it right now.
Fuck the Snowplow Show. Just stop listening to this and listen to Reply All instead. That's going to do it for the show. I'm really sorry I didn't do voicemails in this show, but I figured an hour-long conversation with me was torture enough. Thank you to Mistress Morgan for making this interview happen as a result of her horrible prank call that she made to that guy. And, of course, thanks to Ben Kilburn for sponsoring today's show. Since this is a private show, I'm just going to say fuck it, and I'm going to play a commercial song on the end of today's show. This is a 1980 song by Rockwell. This is called Obscene Phone Caller.
Hello? Who is this? Let me know if you were a girl or something. Maybe I'd talk to you, but you know, you don't say anything, but